Nice.
A little less love.
Recorded live from Stockton, California, this is Jammin' with the Best.
Take three of episode 101. We are here.
We didn't make it very long.
A couple false starts there.
Yeah.
It's all right. We got to hear Crash more.
Yeah. We don't see him, so we get to hear him.
Yeah, we heard Crash three times there.
I do miss him.
You unlucky folks only heard it once.
Ooh.
On the real take.
The real take. We had a... We play the weekly, so a little bit of a rough.
Now let's talk about Jer.
Who's connected on the Bluetooth?
Oh, I did not connect on the Bluetooth. Kyle.
Oh.
Do you see the Bluetooth button on there? Will you press it?
We just got to give Jer a call real quick.
Yeah.
Check in on him. It's a welfare check.
We need to make sure he's okay.
Come on. Is it like flashing or anything? Yeah. Okay.
I'll try to.
It's searching for it. It had it, and then I pressed it, and I said, do you want to forget this device? And it didn't give me no other option but to forget it. So.
Yeah, we'll get there. It's worth it.
Yeah. Well, no spoilers.
The weather was
beautiful. I'm connected to the Rodecaster Pro, so I'll
Sick.
Give it, I'll
perfect.
Give it a try.
The scoring conditions were perfect.
Perfect. No. I haven't played in a while. I threw two forehands, I think. I threw one shot lefty.
Hell yeah.
And I shot a six with a bogey, so...
I looked under Jay, but he's under Farnsworth. So
he's under Jerome in my phone.
I don't hear it dialing.
Turn it up, Hello. Kyle. Well, there he is. Hey, Jer.
What's up, buddy?
You're on with us right now on the podcast.
What's going on, guys?
You tell me, bud.
We need to hear a little
tell
bit
me.
About what happened.
I started off on hole 5.
Nice. Scoreable.
Yeah,
I put it about 17 feet.
Dope, great start.
And I chained out.
Not bad.
And then I took my par.
You didn't know,
I said whatever.
Dope. You didn't have much warm up time. I saw you roll in. And I was like, oh hell yeah!
You were pushing a baby.
Yeah, one thundy deep.
Little one thundy deep, and he was. I'm guessing on his best behavior.
I will say, like right away. Right away, that first putt was like pretty, I don't know what I'm doing feeling, you know?
Confidence on
point. Confidence on point.
Yeah.
It's exactly how you want to feel after your first putt.
So we go to the next hole on hole 6.
Great hole.
And I throw my forehand into the ground, but not into the ground enough to where it sits there, into the ground enough to where it scores OB.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That can happen.
On my upshot, I pump it a little hard and put me like 25.
Yeah, this ain't going to be a single bogey. Spoiler alert. I'm guessing.
And I completely jerball it by like 15 feet.
I missed
the basket by like a complete 5-6 feet. It wasn't even close.
I was talking to Jono, and he was recounting some of the putts that you had from short range.
Oh, you're getting the truth here. That's for sure.
Oh, I believe it.
And I made my comebacker and took a nice little 5 on the second hole of the day.
Damn.
Is that your worst hole?
No, it wasn't my worst hole. The next hole after that, the third hole, was one of that hole 7, the island hole.
Uh-huh.
And I threw it not in bounds. So
I also did that.
Yep, go to the drop zone and throw it to about 15 feet. I was like, all right, well, I put a good run at it, put it at 15 feet, and then I missed that one from 15 feet.
Mm. Right, left, or low? How'd you miss
that? So now I don't even remember. I don't even know.
Nice.
So many throws.
So you're looking at par, double bogey to start.
Home course, been playing it for 48 years. Four up to three.
Shorter layout.
Seven?
Not
seven over? Yeah, seven over was, it's been my worst round in the last 10 years at least.
Yeah.
Seven over is so tough to do, even if you
focus. It's really tough.
I saw you and you're like, I think I'm eight over. And I was like, nah, let me see the scorecard, Jono. And sure enough, you were 7 over.
But I was bogeyless at that time, and I ended up getting 2 bogeys. Birdies. I was birdieless, and I ended up getting 2 birdies with nice little 30-foot putts. You know, I was really surprised with myself.
You've been practicing your putts quite a bit.
Yeah, well, it didn't kick in until about 3 holes left. So.
Just garbage time birdies.
Yeah, exactly.
Just padding the stats for the fantasy guys that started you.
Yeah. Yep. It was rough. And yep, and there was like another 6 laid in there somewhere.
Jeez.
And that was just back and forth.
No penalty on that one. Just okay.
No penalty. Yep.
Oh, that's from
natural. Hey, your handicap though. You're going to make some money.
And it's going to help me. You know, I might make some money. Yeah. I might
don't so bad to get thrown out.
I don't know.
It might.
If they throw out everything over 6 months, like that 7 overs got to count. You're going to come in with like a 3-up handicap real quick.
To any of the listeners, I'm looking for a disc golf therapist. If you can help me with my putting game, give me a call. I'll take any pointers at this point.
Disc golf therapist for Jared.
Yeah, at least 850 dude. Rated. You can learn something.
Yeah, okay. I don't care. My putting is so bad, it doesn't matter. It could be ever rated.
Just aim at the basket and then lay up to the bottom of it and then move on.
You know, layup golf is not the way.
Yeah.
Say 5 or 6 strokes today.
Yep, it was a rough one.
Well, we love you, Jared.
The whole time was pretty rough. I wanted to leave like 5 holes in.
I bet.
Hey, well, not only did you not leave, but you came on to talk about it. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. Shout out. I didn't know I was doing that, but there you go.
Danny was like, who's calling him?
Yeah.
Whoever can connect to the Bluetooth first. And
good thing if Aaron called, I wasn't picking up.
I did think about that at the very end. I'm like, I think I have a better chance right now of answering. It's like, damn, all right, boss is calling. Got to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
All right,
I hope you guys got some good content there. So.
Oh, yeah. I think that was pretty good.
I wish we would have recorded the whole round. We would have great content.
It was pretty bad, and I couldn't stop sucking.
Hey, but you did not stop.
No, just to appreciate you for that.
Jerball clinic at Oak Grove today.
I missed, like, I airballed, like, at least 3 putts, and they were like, what are you doing?
I don't know, but I got another crack at it right now. Yeah. Stand still.
But, you know, a couple of days off of practice putting, I guess my game goes to complete shit.
Hey, you know what? Everything's bigger in Texas. And once you come back to Cali after that short trip, going to be big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even got around it in Texas, and it's didn't help, you know.
Was it as bad as the one today?
No way. I was probably at least even there, and I didn't even know the course.
Yeah, legit. Like, what do we think the, like, what's even today during the week?
920 rated.
915.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that Sue Perales and Carlos both shot, like, 1 over, I think.
Yeah, I've 920 rated, exactly.
Yeah. Sue was on one. She was making some good upshots.
I couldn't do anything.
No. I mean, you were throwing it far when you needed to, I bet.
Yeah, like 17. Yeah,
I mean,
putts.
I guess.
Just throwing it far, past it.
Yep.
So, hey, you know what?
Maybe Thunderbird had a good time, though.
Yeah, that was fun. That's mostly important.
You have to watch a lot of golf.
yeah, a lot.
Hopefully he knows the rules of the game, because he watched it way too many times.
Yeah. He was so much fun, you know. He gave a little smile every throw.
That's nice. That's therapy in itself.
Like, damn, I can beat that.
Yeah,
I can beat that.
I thought you were good, Dad.
Give me that macro money. I'm on it.
One day, hopefully, he'll throw that thing better than I can.
Being good doubles team, we're all hoping.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can putt better than you.
I won't even give him a driver until he's like 18.
He's going to hate you.
No, son. No.
Give him a driver.
Keep putting. 18. Now.
Yeah, learn from me.
You're still missing 60-footers, goddammit.
Want to learn how to throw farther? Go practice putt.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for answering. All right.
No problem. You guys have a good rest of your podcast.
Yeah, we will. Bye, Jerry.
We miss you.
Bye.
What a trooper.
It takes it like a champ.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He takes the shit talk better than anyone ever.
Yeah.
7 over, though.
That's terrible. That's bad at
for like, how good of a golfer he is also.
Any right, of us that, come and in and that's even or most. Over par at all and like just feeling awful
and leaving quickly.
Yeah. You definitely didn't see Jer after my round.
No, I saw him drive away, but god damn. Like it just how do you not just decide to start laying up, I guess. I don't know. I guess you don't.
Not sure either. Like, I mean, obviously everyone's had bad rounds. We've all had bad fuck it rounds.
Don't know what this fucking hand is doing.
Yeah, it's not connected to this thing, and this thing doesn't even know what should happen most on some days. But yeah, fighting out of the tough round, fighting out of the bad round is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, coming back to that next round, like, we alternate singles, doubles on our weeklies. So, if we throw Saturday, I'm curious how Jer will play.
I might have to be there.
Yeah.
Just to find out.
I feel like, so it will be a better round. I can't imagine he matches that.
Yeah, bars set like, way too low to that's not a go once over.
What if he just starts putting, like, softer and hyzer-y than ever before?
He'll play better.
Go forehand.
Blowfly.
What if he gets on a knee and starts turboing?
Upside down.
Anything.
I don't know.
It can't be worse. Father Corbett putt.
And so the Jer ball is traditionally just 20, 30 degrees right.
Yep.
Yeah. Famous.
Yeah, and he hasn't really done it a lot in the last 2 years, I would say.
He did earn a bestie by doing that quite a bit.
Yeah, and so did Paige.
Yeah.
He was the title of the bestie. Paige earned it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Poor
Paige also earned that dub this weekend.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was up by a chunk after first round. And it got me thinking about FPO and how there's so many of those ladies that are capable of just running away from the pack on any single round or event. It's hard to carry it over 3 or 4 rounds, but there's like easily you could picture Katrina doing the same thing, you know, Kristen Tatar doing the same thing. You could rattle off, you know, 4, 5, 6 other ladies' names, but like Paige does it more often over the last 5, 6 years of just like setting a pace that's 5 or 6 above everybody else in a single round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paige and Kat are the two that do it most often, I think.
Yeah.
And they're the best two players in the world for that reason.
And honestly, it was good to see her hang on to this one because I feel like that's a good tone setter for the rest of the tour coming up because I think she would admit that the first couple of big tournaments of this year, she let slip through her fingers a little bit on some late opportunities.
Yeah, I think she's very streaky and finds OB a lot, so she will give up things.
She's aggressive, man.
Yeah, she's the most aggressive player in the FPO division.
Maybe
in both.
Yeah, yeah, and it ends up like every now and then she loses rounds because she's a little too aggressive.
Epic good, epic bad.
Yeah.
Putting on a show, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's her mentality.
I love it.
About that life.
I love people that put on shows.
I would much rather have that mentality than like an thrown under the bus sort of a like Nate Safton, you know what I mean? And like that's not really his game, but he earned that moniker for, you know, at least some of a reason. Mm-hmm. But you know, I would much rather have that mentality over the long haul because you're gonna get more dubs. You know what I mean? Yeah. You might get less seconds or thirds or whatever, but you're going to be winning more, I think.
Unless you're just not good, like me.
Sure.
That's fair.
But it's fun. It's also more fun, golf. It's not fun laying up things.
It's true. It weirdly takes some of, I would imagine, it takes some of the pressure off if you've already committed way ahead of time in your in your blood that I run this. Like, I run everything. I'm not going to lay this up.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
how
so
I feel.
So it takes some of the nerves away from that death putt, I imagine, late in the round.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, so what? I went 30 long on that first putt. Yeah. That's my plan. I'm gunning for it.
Yep.
I feel like I'm the opposite. Like, I'm way more likely to lay it up or give a soft bid. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why I like the opposite. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, just fucking go for it. Like, just wish I had more of that.
Yeah, I think it's like that killer instinct the people will talk about.
Sure. Sure. I think they're similar, but I think it's different enough.
Yeah, I think it's definitely different, but there's some the not caring if you miss part of it.
Yeah. I think there's something to
you see maybe a lot that of that in younger players traditionally too.
Less fear. Yeah. Less awareness of the bad that can happen.
Yeah, and like, just I'm not even worried about that. And just a huge horizon of this isn't my last major event, and not last, but like, you know, I'm trying to get my name out there, and if I smash this, you know, it's more likely.
Yeah, like we talk about it over the lifespan of, you know, the company, but like over the lifespan of your career or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm on hole two or three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I'm not worried. I got a lot of holes left, so we're gonna run this one.
We're gonna get some bogeys. We're gonna get some birdies. Maybe sprinkle an eagle in there.
Yeah. Are you more? Ooh, that's a question. Are you more likely? So I feel like I'm more likely to play it safe early in a tournament than I am later in a tournament.
I think most people are. Yeah. I think most people are. I think it helps to know where you stand, and earlier in the tournament, there's way more up in the air.
Yeah, I feel like I can't win a tournament in the first round, but I can lose it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And so I play a little more conservatively. And that's not even really to say, like, conservatively. I don't ever really play conservatively.
It's very situational. I feel like what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, like if I get in a bad spot, I'm like, do I want to run this or not? And if it's early, it's like, probably not. I'll try to run, like, maybe a soft bid or something.
When you're trying to just, like, well, let's take my medicine. Yeah. Everybody's going to get a bogey this first round, so this is mine.
Yep.
Yeah.
I try not to lose tournaments early.
Yep. Getting that double or triple right off the bat, I mean, just ask Jer. It can ruin the round.
It can be very liberating, too, though.
It can. You get that fuck it mentality.
Early bogey is not the worst recipe.
I had a Central Valley series in Merced that I double bogeyed the first hole and ended up winning the tournament.
Yeah.
And it was very much like, well, fuck. And I, you know, went on a good streak. It's Merced, so I mean, you can go on a streak any given set of
nothing's
eight holes.
Too long there.
No, but I mean, yeah, sometimes that long, early bogey or that early missed putt is a lot of motivation to get your ass in gear.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Or like Luke Humphreys was talking about it at he was on the upshot, and he was talking about his round at Waco where he shanked his first drive into OB.
Yeah.
And he goes, I guess he was talking about his mindset, and he says, I've already thrown my worst shot of the round. Like, I know that. I know I'm not going to throw a shot worse than that, and that there was some, you know, liberation in that.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're on coverage.
Sure.
Like that. It can be nervy.
I threw a lot of really bad shots in coverage.
I think it wasn't
my first round either, which is the worst part.
I think most people who have been on coverage, like they have at least some stretch of holes where it's just like, all I can think about is how bad this looks.
It's
not a good mentality to play golf in.
Yeah, and in the long run, nobody cares.
Oh, yeah, right. Nobody's going to go back and watch that Oakland City Championships final round that I...
Yeah.
Well, that and any
lowest rated round in Central Coast history.
That and unless it's a parody type thing, like the people doing the commentary are gonna have the players back as far as
they're
like,
gonna empathize, and then any viewers are just like, oh, okay, that guy's out. Let me like I'm gonna focus on you know who's in the race.
Yeah. Yep.
100%. But it is tough to watch.
Yeah.
Someone play really bad on coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely lean towards empathy most of the time. They're like,
they do a good job on in Mo. If you follow Mo on Twitter, he does a really good job of like talking about all the things that go into it, into coverage. And one of the things he watches PGA Tour a lot, so he can kind of learn how when to cut, what not to cut.
Yeah.
And one of the things he goes, I don't need to show every player. Mm. And they're getting better at that. Like not showing every single person.
Someone on lead cards chunking, they're going to show more chase.
Yeah, show someone else from a different card. Because you want to see, you don't want to see a guy struggle. It's not fun. No. It's not fun for them. So they're killing it. I love the live.
Yeah, it gets better every year.
I don't want to watch any other disc golf. I'll watch skins and I'll watch live coverage. I don't want to watch any post coverage anymore.
I was a huge post coverage advocate for a long time. Yeah, mostly because that's all I watched. But now that we've the last couple of years been heavy on the live, I'm like, oh yeah, why it's would I not watch
so
this
much
live?
More exciting?
Yeah, I find it way more interesting. And of course, that's not anything against Jomez and GK and all them,
because that actually looks better.
Oh, it's way better. It's so much better.
Yeah,
the production is better.
Yep, the crispness, it's great cameras and equipment, and they're very, very good at shooting it. And they're usually in better spots. I forget who was talking about that, but they're able to get better spots because you don't have to hold on live. Maybe I was listening. I think I was listening to Jonathan Gomez on the Upshot. Upshot's great, man. I've listened to like two or three episodes in the last month or so, which I rarely listen to podcasts, but I've popped that on, and Charlie and Josh are really good.
Charlie's so good.
Yeah. He's easily their best play-by-play guy.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think Jomez was talking about USDGC and how they don't cover that. And I guess one of the reasons was they wanted them to do both live and post. And he goes, they're just two different things. He goes, one of them's going to suffer. Choose which one you want to be good or which one you want to be bad. Mm. He says, but a lot of times the live cameramen will have to hold a little bit longer because they're still, that red light's still on for them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where the chase cam or whatever, like they're already moving.
Yeah.
The post-production, they know someone else has the finish of the shot or whatever it is. Like they're moving, and so they're in a better spot right away for the next shot.
Yeah.
And so that post is like very crisp, Not only just like better quality video, like better, pixels or whatever, better quality. But they're, they're in better spots. They're better set up. You can cut everything perfectly. But yeah, like there's nothing like live.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's going on. When it happens, the whole energy of it, besides being there live, which more and more people are doing, watching it's great.
Being able to follow along with people on Twitter talking about things in case you miss something or there's like a little thing in the background and someone's talking about that. There's so many weird little things people catch. And when you watch it live compared to someone watching it 2 weeks from now, post coverage.
That, and unless you're willing to isolate yourself from social media.
Sure. And like not everybody has that freedom. And also it's a lot of, weekend events. They all finish on Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, primarily the viewership for our sport is people that play it. Mm-hmm. And primarily those people that play it can play it more on the weekends. And so that's their time. And I don't fault people for wanting to, jam that whole days of coverage into, 50 minutes. Like it's perfect. They're so good at doing it.
Yeah. The post coverage is legit.
Yeah.
So good.
But that live is getting real good.
Yep. Yeah. And you just feel, you just feel the emotion a little bit more. I feel like there's some, I don't want to say like disingenuous, but like almost like that, where like a lot of the people that are announcing kind of know what happened.
Oh, they know who's leading or they know who won.
And then they like, some of them have heard the shots being talked about by their friends. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this shot was super sick. And they try to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you can kind of tell a little bit compared to like when Philo gets stoked about a shot, it's for a good reason or whatever.
Yeah, it's instant reaction. It's instant reactions. To something where you did not know the result.
Yeah.
Where like, I'm sure everybody heard about, was it 16 or 17? Paul's big ass forehand on.
Oh, at Waco.
Waco, yeah. 17. Yeah.
Where like I'm sure, like at best, they heard, "Oh my God, Paul birdied that with a fucking crazy shot."
Yeah, very out of position.
And they're gonna sit there, and they may not know how it happened or how it looks, but they know while he's lining it up, like this is about to be special.
Yes. Like, yeah, he's getting up and down, and it's not gonna be a long putt.
Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, like there's no better encapsulation of that than the Conrad throw in at Worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone knew it happened. And, you know, I guess it was just the Jomez card. So, you know, it was just, you know, big Julie, sexy Julie or whatever commentary of, you know, big germ, Yuli and Sexton. But, like, you know, all three of them had to watch that. And everyone obviously knew exactly what happened. And you have to figure out, you know, how you play it, essentially.
How am I going to react to this?
I'd be so bad at that.
Halfway genuine, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what I would end up doing in that spot. I would probably end up being silent and like, I don't, you know, hopefully one of the other two guys says something because I don't know what I can say here.
I'd be talking about it on like hole 12, just like, you guys just wait though, because fucking, oh my God, 18.
Well, that's the toughest one because that was such like, you know, it was one of the shot heard around the world moments. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what do you do when you're in that spot where you are a post-production company and, mm-hmm. you know, everyone already heard too. Tough spot. It's weird.
Yeah.
One of the few sports I think that are still like really dealing with this on a relatively large scale for, mm-hmm. you know, where the sports come. That's for sure.
Yeah. Rick took down another Texas State. Not six in a row, though. Then he'll keep lying to us.
Yeah, it's weird. Six in a row
for him
that he signed up for. Yeah.
But it's definitely not 6 years in a row,
which is still epic.
That's still cool to be
still
like,
cool as shit. I sign up, that. I win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, six since in a row. 2013 or something.
Yeah. Six in a row just sounds funny.
Yeah.
It was like when it's definitely not.
I would even like just pull and exaggerate it even more. And like whatever that first one was, like, dude, I haven't lost Texas State since like 2012, bro. Like, really? You know, that many in a row? And it's like, yeah. Six. Yeah, he chased down Calvin. I think it was like pretty even halfway through the round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Calvin had a little lead and Calvin played well. He missed a few, but
yep. Had two bogeys, shot a seven down.
Barsby like so clean in that last round. He missed that one on like 16 where he just hit the forehead from probably like 20 feet. And he was just on such a heater and you know, that he was so locked in and like almost intense. Like he's a loose player. And so I'm not saying that he was tense or anything, but you know, he was like super focused the whole round and maybe like a lapse in judgment there or something where, you know, you just kind of like, all right, here's a 20 footer. Like I got this, I've hit everything else that I've stepped up to and just, you know, off the forehead and probably wouldn't have made it, like wouldn't have come back anyway. Cause I think Rick finished with a bird.
Rick shot 29. Calvin shot 28. Barsby shot 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, four strokes. Might have
put him in contention for second, but even then, I think Calvin
such
did
a
enough.
Good battle. Like, that was great where it looked like, okay, it's going to be, you know, just Rick and Calvin, and Barsby was like three back.
I was pulling
all of a sudden,
him.
He's two back. And then it's like, has a chance to just keep even. And
he should have done another glasses change. Maybe it made Cole Puss at the end.
Rocking those Pit Vipers?
So at one point, he wore different glasses in the round than he did after the game, in the post
baller
press conference. He put the Pit Vipers on after. He had some other crazy ones on. Speaking of Barsby, there is a little bit of Twitter talk about this. Do you think it's weird at all that Barsby played as the course designer?
No.
I don't really have a strong opinion.
How about like Kale at Preserve, right?
Yeah. I had never even really thought about it. I didn't really ever care about it.
It's only still interesting don't. Where it's like if it ended up being just like this hugely forehand dominated course and he's obviously like, you know, so good at forehand.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I got to imagine there was at least one hole where it's like, this dog leg, that's about as far as I can throw it comfortably, and I love that shot, and it sets me up for that. But at the same time, I think he's probably more concerned with just it being a legit course that people enjoy and that, you know, I'm sure he had that fear of, God, I hope this isn't too easy. Just like we had kind of that discussion last year at OTA.
And I don't
Open.
Even think the issue is him designing it for himself necessarily. It's just like if you design it, you know that course better than anyone else automatically.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like play it out to the extreme and it's like, okay, you know, we play on tour and two courses are designed by Paul, two courses are designed by Rick, two are designed by Eagle. It's like, okay, yeah, they all end up kind of playing a little better at their own. Like I could sort of see it if you know really try to stretch it towards the bad end or whatever.
Someone said that like they didn't really like it, and I just kind of thought about it, and I was like, I kind of see their point, but not. I don't have any strong feelings about it.
I just think the players are so damn good now at preparation, especially if it's one course they're focusing
okay,
on.
Okay, so what if a Barsby never has another close finish like this the rest of the year?
Well, and he very well might not. Obviously, you know, we're all rooting for him, but that wouldn't be a huge shock. But I wonder if he's potentially just more locked in because of the ownership of the course outside of, you know, designing it.
A little bit of house money, too, because, I mean, it's his home turf in a sense, especially
I love
now.
That he called it, too. He goes, 25 down's going to probably win if anyone shoots better, like protect him was the quote
and
they
he
kept
shot
doing.
25.
And he shot 25, and like easily could have been, you know, one or two better with just a few things.
That
very
second
late.
Round, everyone shot worse, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Yeah, except like Rick maybe or Calvin. Yeah. Calvin shredding the
Rick,
middle.
Oh, yeah, Rick and Calvin both shot 11. So I guess the last round, everyone shot worse. Rick shot a 10, Calvin shot a 7. Did it look like... What's his face was Paul shredded the first round, right?
Yeah, 12.
12. Yeah.
Which he did not feel great about.
Oh, no, that was great when he came in.
Felt way worse about the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did he shoot the second round?
I think even.
Yeah.
He was 13 after it was all said and done, I think.
That I don't remember. But
the first round?
No, he's 12.
Total.
And then
total?
I think
no,
even.
He shot better than that, I think.
I heard someone say that.
He shot a 7. He's a 16. Oh, no, that was 3. He was a 15.
Yeah,
damn.
12, even 3.
Losing a lot of money betting against him.
I'm
it's good for 8th place.
I'm pretty excited about him coming out firing in the next event. I gotta imagine this was some medicine that he's gonna take. Like, how the fuck did I do that? And he's just gonna rage out. That's my guess.
Yeah. What's next is Music City that I don't think everybody's playing. And then it's the first major of the year, the Players' Cup.
Yep.
In Georgia?
Champions Cup.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay. Champions Cup. I don't know where it's at. I think it's in Georgia,
I feel like
though.
It's the, IDGC. Yeah, first major, and it's in April. Dude, it lines up perfectly with Augusta. It's also in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, isn't the Masters... In Augusta, like also the first, second week in April, I think.
Apparently, Tiger's teeing up.
He hasn't said no
yet. He's going to play disc golf?
He hasn't. Tiger hasn't said no yet.
Nice.
And apparently, everyone caught his caddy flying down to Florida. And they're like, there's no way he's just flying down there just to hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, just kick it.
That would be so rad. If he competed at all, that's beyond what I think. Most doctors expected out of him as far as his initial diagnosis.
That'd be crazy.
Like two shattered legs.
Yeah, 32 crazy. Metal plates in his body and insane. Screws. Can't pass through airport security, but
Appling,
we're
Georgia.
Going to tee it up this weekend.
Champions Cup, Appling, Georgia.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like we know that course, right? Like from a viewership standpoint,
is
that's
that
the Hall of
Fame
Classic
course?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Dude, it's my best guess. I feel like they're both IDGC, but I'm curious. And so that's the one that I feel like Calvin took down semi-recently.
I don't know.
That'll be fun, man. I'm excited. I'm glad we have 4 majors.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, it's definitely IDGC.
Yeah, it seems like it. There's tons of good courses popping up all the time, like Eagles Crossing, but there's only so many courses it feels like they hit right now. It's only so many venues that they feel are truly capable of hosting and they know are worthy of like a major. I'm not surprised that it's at a, you know, tried and true tested course.
Yeah, I think maybe also PDGA wanted one that was theirs in their backyard.
Sure, yeah.
Because USDGC... is one, but that's Innova's.
Yeah, that's squarely on Innova.
And East. I guess Worlds is
definitely PDGA, but it travels and it's again, you know, that one's been around for 50 years now.
Yeah.
Wow. Is this the 50th anniversary of Worlds?
I don't even know that, but like it's got to be close. 70s, you know what I mean? And we're in the 20s now. Jesus. Roaring 20s, so.
Yeah, right.
Shit. The roaring 20s.
That's right, dude. I'm getting on my zoot suit. Look out.
Hell yeah, let's do it. I'm trying to find out World PDGA World Championships.
End of August? Oh, yeah.
No, just how many. There's a Wikipedia page for it now.
Nice.
Let's go. Held annually since 1982.
Really? Okay, yeah. So 40th.
Yeah.
Or 41st, I guess, technically. Assuming they've, well, they yeah. did
they
miss
cancel
a year.
One.
Ooh,
this might did. Be the 40th annual, but 41st available. Who won that first one?
Let's see. They have it some here. Dude, oh, that's Mass. Named
John.
I'll vaguely know the name.
Harold Duval.
Oh, yeah. I think part that's Vinova, one of the, right? Yeah, I think that's one of the Innova guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know who won the second one, though. Never heard this name. Jeff Watson.
Oh, yeah, that's Jeff
Sarasota,
Watson.
Florida.
Nice.
Good job, Jeff.
Dude, Florida, especially with Climo, like Florida and California have a ton of world titles.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what is like, assuming those are top two now, I wonder what's third, like a Texas?
I would think
there's
Texas
some South Carolina,
Michigan, maybe.
Harold Duval, South Carolina.
Nice.
Hell of Florida, though.
Yeah.
Dude, Florida
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Cam Todd, South Carolina also.
Great artist.
Barry Schultz is North Carolina, and he's won a few.
Carolinas have great disc golf. Yeah. I have not played there enough.
Let's see. We got a Georgia with Feldberg, Oklahoma with Avery, Kansas with McCabe, Nate Doss, Oregon. Got three.
He's so
I'm calling
California though.
Ricky I'm calling him Cali.
Ricky South Carolina.
Yeah. Nice.
So South Carolina is up there. And then Barsby in Blacksburg, Virginia for James Conrad.
Yeah, I'm calling all of Paul's Cali.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if he departed from Virginia in any of those. Probably the sixth at the
sixth?
Ledgestone win. Or
six?
the fifth.
Fifth.
Yeah. First one with Discraft.
Dude, a bunch of South Carolina in the FPO also, and North Carolina. Hmm. Between Elaine King and
Dez.
Vanessa Chambers.
Where's Dez from?
Because
she's got
Juliana's got,
five,
got a bunch
right?
in California.
Was
Dez
she
is
Cali?
Texas. It says San Diego on all
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I feel like she, and I think we know this, we just don't remember, but I feel like she was from like Midwest.
Yeah, definitely for all, because it tells you where they're from.
Yeah.
Or where they were located at the time.
At the time.
And Juliana's was San Diego on most of them. Des Redding, Wimberley, Texas.
I feel like Juliana's like
I've never even
Iowa
heard of this name. A Swedish girl won the world in 2004.
2004, Brigetta Longholm.
Lagerholm.
So close.
Yeah, dude, really close.
We went to that one in Iowa. Des Moines.
Vals has been Oregon on here.
Yeah, that was.
That is not right. She's from Oklahoma because that's where Avery was.
Yeah, that's where she is now.
2004 was one of the last
Sarah
or later
Stanhope?
Ones. The juniors and AMs
name.
And Open were all in one place.
They might have done it in like 2009 too. I think it was after we stopped going, basically.
Yeah.
They did it again. They've done it, I think, maybe twice again.
Do you guys know who Sarah Stanhope is?
I definitely, I feel
Stanhope
like she was.
Sounds familiar.
She won Worlds right before Paige's first, the year before Paige's first.
Hmm.
In between Val that? Jenkins and Paige.
Maybe I don't then. Hmm. Maybe I'm thinking it's in
2010 world champion.
I feel like
hell
those 4 years I was a little disconnected from the world of disc golf.
Same.
Kind of 06 to 2010. Really till 2013. Played a decent amount, but didn't really pay attention to stuff.
I feel like that's anybody who's played the sport for more than like 5 years. You've taken some time off, and it's easy to get back in. Like Aaron's taking his time off right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still watching though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got I think probably two solid 3 to 4 year hiatuses.
I've got, let's see how many rounds. I got five rounds under my belt this year.
Hell yeah.
That's not bad.
No.
I would have guessed lower. That's not bad.
That's my first non-tournament round of the year.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
Doubles
right.
tournament.
Two for deuces.
Two for deuces and two for
winner jam.
Winner jam. in a week.
You haven't played before that, huh?
Nope.
Yeah, it's we're what, basically like 12, 13, call it 13 weeks into the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That math's about right.
Five rounds coming in over the course of 3 days.
So it's probably close to 30. 40%. It's not bad.
All right. It's not too terrible.
We've definitely gone through periods in here where we don't play very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually been throwing in that net a lot. I'll throw 40, 50 throws a night just to feel how it feels.
That's smart. Jer should try that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Come on, Jer.
Bro, some of these names are great. Snapper Pearson.
Ooh. Oh, Snapper. San Diego head. Yeah. Ran the pro shop at Morley for a very long time, from what I understand.
Couple-time world champion in the 40, the Masters division.
Yeah, I believe that. He was stud. One of my dad's homies, for sure.
Oh, he also finished second a couple times. This poor fellow, Tom Monroe.
I remember that.
I don't think he's ever... Oh, he won the 1983 Men's Masters Worlds, and then finished in the top three, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times after that.
That's so losing impressive.
Losing to
who? Snapper Pearson a couple times, Steve Slazer, John David, Rick Vokes.
Vokes, for sure. Dr. Rick Vokes.
David Welly.
Spec on that name.
Alan Beaver finished third a couple times. David Welly is Oakland cat.
Okay. Aquatic Park.
Red Whittington. Dude, I don't know any of these names.
I'm about 50-50.
I like him, though. Jim Oates is here, 1999. I know Jim Oates.
Yep.
David Greenwell, that sounds familiar, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's made every USDGC or something like that, or every world.
That's that guy.
I think was Integral and Prodigy's opening.
Nice.
I could be wrong on that, but great head of hair for his age. Like, for being on that list, still a full head of hair.
That's pretty dope. I don't even have a full head of hair. It's close. It's just long now.
Nice, some throwback.
Yeah, I'm on the Wikipedia Worlds page, just scrolling. This is the most in-depth I've ever seen it anywhere. Like, one place you could find it. It definitely wasn't like this a few months ago. So thank you to whoever did this.
Shout out Wikipedia.
Dude, all the information. Dude. Own. 40 and over world champion last year.
Own is so good. Yeah. Her putt is
deadly.
Is so solid. Forehand, top 10 very easily. And pretty easily argued top 5. You got like Hokum, Weiss, Kristen Tatar has a nasty forehand. Feel like Evelina and Henna, both decent.
Mm-hmm.
And her commentary during the round,
yeah,
top notch.
Absolutely.
Maybe the best.
She's hilarious.
She's great.
Dude, so the first ever Grandmasters ended in a tie. They don't even have stroke margin or prize or winning score or anything.
They're still playing off.
Yeah.
It was Steady Ed and Johnny Roberts.
Damn.
Number 001 and number 115.
That PDJ number is way lower. It's not even close.
Dude, you add their numbers up and it's a 4-digit number. You add them up and it's a 3-digit number. You just put the one in front of the other. You put the one in front of the other one, though, and it's a 4-digit number.
Right, sure.
Just combine the two.
Can't argue with that.
Still very low.
Yeah, it's lower than... So if you just put the one in front of the other guy's number, it's lower than the guy that won the event the next year. 1508.
Jeez.
Look at us now.
Yeah.
Over 200,000?
Yeah.
By far now?
I think so. I think, 220? I don't know. 220? Yeah, I would guess like 230.
I haven't looked in a long time.
It's almost like the weight of the egg. I'm just kind of always going to guess low.
God, the egg.
Oh, we
66
can't.
Pounds?
Okay. Like,
give it away.
Someone's going to have a
There's a little advantage. Alpha for those who listen to.
Yeah, someone's going to have an advantage now.
Oh, okay. So we are doing the...
Yeah, but we last weighed like an eon and a half ago, as at least a light year. I don't know my units of measurement at this point. It gets a little fuzzy.
It was a fluid ounce.
Over here, but yeah.
At least 25 so, feet.
Super fluid.
Very fluid ounces.
We measured a little bit ago. We just started building that thing, I don't know, a couple hours ago. It's like it escalates quickly.
Yeah. things escalate fast around here.
They do.
One thing in a little house, next thing you know, you're like got a warehouse.
Yeah, and that thing is full already.
Yeah, we had to order another shelf.
Just got Mark fear ordering shelves.
Mark looked at me. He's like, when do you think I should order another shelf? And I did the just same thing to Danny. I'm like, now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mark asked me, he's like, should I order another shelf? I'm like, I don't know. Like, do we think they'll be readily available in like 6 months? Because if so, only for like space and like kind of that hangout area. I'm like, we could probably hold off a minute. It's like, well, they probably won't have this stuff, and we got this used on a deal. He goes, I'll buy it or whatever, and we'll be fine. I'm like, it's not a cash flow thing. Like, you know, let's go ahead and get it then.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have them. Those are clean. So if we get the same ones,
those are nice.
And they're not as all like.
Having it be the same is nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice. So those look like they're not used a lot.
Dude, yeah. Straight up Costco shelves.
Yeah. They look, the orange part looks like Home Depot shelves.
Sure, I'm trying to picture Costco now, but I think it's a lot of orange.
Green and orange are the shelving things we got. Speed racks.
Yeah.
Great.
Speedy assemble.
Yeah, so you have to run in there now.
Well, it's Aaron ran in there at like 98 miles an hour earlier.
I ran at 98 miles an hour today. So thank you guys. I'm the fastest man in the world.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. I mean, we all knew it.
I also got the fastest hands in the west of the Mississippi.
Now just confirmed.
So. You can take that how you want to take it. Just know Kyle's got the second fastest hands west of the Mississippi.
I'm ready for that smoke. Whoever wants it. Let's go.
All I saw was a hands. Blur from Kyle.
Kyle had a blur of hands going just now.
Thought we lost them for a second.
This is why we need a camera on Kyle.
Oh, it'll be so good. He would never switch it to himself, though. That's the issue.
Damn it, Kyle.
I need an override button. Post.
Yeah.
I just need an override button. Bing. Here's Kyle's face.
Bing bong.
All right, who you guys got for the first major start FPO?
Ooh. Paige.
It's hard not to go Paige.
Dark horse, Hall and Hanley. She might not play good in the woods, though. Don't know her game.
I'd say
that great.
And it's not a dark horse at all. I think
she's shredding right now.
I think Kristen Tatar, she hasn't won this year yet, and I think she will win this year.
Is she the best European player?
Yeah, I think she plays as such. She
either field. You know what I mean? Like relative, yeah.
I feel like Evelina's so close.
She's so good. She needs someone to just take her under her wing and
Jer,
under their wing.
Can you help Evelina?
Yeah. She might be your therapy buddy.
Ooh.
Dude, she's so talented.
She's the best. She's number one in strokes gained tee to green.
Mm-hmm.
And
just needs a complete like reset button on the putt,
mm-hmm.
and she'll be shredding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't remember, like, I've watched her play a lot, and I've never, ever remember her putt being this bad.
No, I don't know that it ever was this bad.
I think there's a ton of pressure coming over to another fucking country.
Yeah.
With expectations of, you're maybe the best player of the world, let's see what happens, and then that's going to come out into play in mostly the putting green more than anything else.
I also
else.
Feel like they're very different countries.
Sure. She just needs a breakdown of like a, just like almost a redesign
of her putt.
Of the putt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do something different. Like if you're pitch putting, then spin putt.
Yeah.
You know, or vice versa.
I know when I've been on a fucked up putting streak, I'll switch to straddle because like, well, this will be useful anyway to learn how to straddle better.
Yeah.
And so just do that.
Something. I'm taking Kat for Katrina Allen because Kat Murch has been playing really well too.
Yeah, she's going to be good.
We got to specify
her. She is good. She's going to be really good, I think, Kat Murch.
Yeah.
She bombs off
that
the
field
team.
Is getting deeper and deeper every
year. It's so good.
Every year.
So
this
good.
This year especially.
There's a dozen that I'm not surprised if one of those ladies takes it down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So on the men's side, who do we got?
I would love to have looked at stats at this course.
Previous stats.
But.
Dickerson.
Yeah, that's a great call.
That's a good bet.
I'm going, and this is like somehow a dark horse when it shouldn't be. But I'm going to take Calvin.
All right.
But like just. Hasn't, like, let's just put it out there. Legit, pretty much hasn't won anything.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has some Elite Series wins, right? Like, mm-hmm. I had the co-win, I think, at Ledgestone. and I think has a couple NTs and like one point, you know, overall, like obviously super stud, but hasn't won much.
No.
I'd love to see him take down this first major of the year. Like, I think unanimously one of the guys we root for in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're all pulling for him.
Yeah, we're all Calvin fans, I think.
But bottom line, I'll say it right now, hasn't won shit. Let's go.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go the opposite side and go what I think is somewhat semi-safe and say Ricky. I think he's on one right now, and he's all about his momentum, and I feel like he's just fucking feeling it right now.
Yeah.
With his stroke and his putt.
Yeah.
He was making a lot of those shots look very easy.
That one, weekend. Like, where he pimped the shot. I wish I could remember which hole, but he pimped it, like, probably 13-ish. Just rough feel of the match in that last round. And he has a jump putt, basically, to the green. Like, he's ahead of everyone, and it's in the woods. And he has just, like, a long, like, 120-foot, mm-hmm. but for Rick, it's a jump putt. And he just, like, yanks it and goes into the tree. He's like just kind of cursing at himself under his breath. But yeah, like he is totally locked in mm-hmm. right now. Like that shot aside, he looks very good.
And even some of his good shots, he's like, damn it, kind of shit. And it's yeah, 20 like almost feet away. Yeah. It's just like, damn, dude.
He's a perfectionist like that.
Oh, yeah. Totally. But like he's a perfectionist and still executing. Because I feel like there's perfectionists who like, you should be stoked you're 20 feet away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
I mean, we're talking about the most talented humans in the world at this point.
Yeah.
I accidentally stumbled on a funny website. I just typed in Calvin Heimberg and was going to try to find if he's a Wikipedia page where I could see what he won. And there's a thing that says, wiki.ng, who is Calvin Heimberg dating? Everything to know about disc golfer.
Oh, God.
And the sentences are very funny. Like, who is Calvin Heimberg girlfriend? Nice. The disc golfer has not mentioned anything about his girlfriend. Get to know about his age and net worth details. Calvin is a professional disc golfer who has been playing since 2010.
Who are you dating and how much are you worth?
And has played 199 games.
Damn.
Yes. Calvin Heimberg girlfriend. Calvin Heimberg has not given any details about his girlfriend. Said it again.
Who wrote this?
I have no clue. Wiki.ng.
Damn. He didn't respond to comment to that?
We need to share this.
Calvin too. Heimberg has earned a huge amount of money and added a lot to his net worth.
Sweet.
Moreover, it is known that his total career earnings are $144,000 or $144,022.
But as far as we know, zero girlfriend.
Also, he surely earns from several endorsement deals as well.
Sure. Yeah.
He has not shared much about his personal lifestyle on his Instagram profile as well, and therefore nobody really knows about how luxurious his lifestyle is.
Oh my God.
Very.
We need to share this with Calvin and get his feedback.
Yeah.
And maybe help this author figure out.
I think this is someone that's translating things because they use the word moreover 1, 2, 3, 4 times. 5 times as the first word of the sentence.
That's like the apparently kid. It's like definitely had just learned that word.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm using this a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, just got a new disc. I'm throwing it on every hole.
That reminded me of Travis.
Yeah. We all either know that guy or girl or have been that. Guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so we got a new page to show, Calvin.
Apparently, I just learned how to say moreover. Top 5 video for me. Love that kid.
Yeah. Where are they now?
Yeah, I saw this page. I started reading about it, and I'm like, wait, what? I should share this.
That's good stuff. I would love to get – we'll have to get Calvin on that week on the podcast and just read that to him.
Yeah. So who are you dating?
Yeah. How many girlfriend you got?
How luxurious is your lifestyle? Yeah.
That's maybe the best question. I'll
post it on the Instagram.
Oh, wait. I didn't see this part.
Ooh.
Oh, this part's new.
If it's about you his age. Order now.
Apparently, he's 6'5".
No.
Apparently, he's probably 6'3".
Maybe.
This part just showed up. I swear. I had to, like, refreshed it.
This person's live editing it.
He has kept himself very fit and healthy because of the regular exercises he has been doing.
What?
And he needs a lot of physical strength, which also keeps him healthy.
I think this person wants to be Calvin's girlfriend.
Talking about Calvin's age, he's currently 23. Calvin was born in the year 1997 or 1998 in Florida.
I'm taking the over on
that. Don't know that's true.
If he's 23, he's got the highest ceiling of anyone right now.
But it also says 97 or 98, so this could have been written like 4 years ago. Oh.
Yeah.
But it just got updated.
Or this website also is very odd. So.
I'd like to think he just started writing this yesterday. Like he's in the process.
Yeah, we'll refresh again before the end of the episode and let you know if there's any more intel on his girlfriend.
This page is so funny.
I hope this isn't the only disc golfer he's written about. This is some good clickbait.
Great point.
The ads are great, too, because the ads are definitely, like, clickbaity.
I see some Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady standing next to somebody else, and it says NFL wives that are perfect 10s, and it's definitely someone's face photoshopped onto someone else's body. Nice. Pretty great.
It's definitely not Tom Brady's wife.
No. Dude, you may also like...
Ooh. Let's get to
clicking. The Woman in the House. Is The Woman Across the Lake a real book?
New topic.
Is Rhonda Worthy still married? Her wiki, age, net worth, Troy Aikman.
Who?
I don't know.
Nice. How old are you, Matt? About Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman and a half. Depending on how you round it. I'll be Joe Buck next week.
You don't even know who most of these people are they're talking about.
Yeah, me neither. Rhonda Worthy?
Joey. Who is Joey King's sister, Hunter King?
That's a good question and answer right there. Doesn't leave you on the ledge.
Underrated girl's name, Hunter.
This says, wow. It says someone's, it says Nim C, and then parentheses, all things Nim. Bio, age, wiki, net worth, height, boyfriend. Bro, these articles are great. Whoa, look at that. Ad for the creepiest gadget ever is what it says. This is the best website I've ever been to, I think.
God bless the internet.
Yeah, so how about Will Smith getting slapped or slapping Chris Rock?
Just for fun, I'm on that side if it's completely staged.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I like all the conspiracies. They're my favorite.
I just like that it seems like most people are convinced that it's real.
Yeah, I am.
And most people are generally wrong.
Big fan of betting against most people.
Big rewards if you do that.
Sure. I don't know.
I thought it was pure comedy and I loved it.
Dude, I'm all for all of it. Again, I think you had the 500 or whatever, like, air quote, best actors in the world, and nobody was going to give a shit if that didn't happen.
No.
So they had to do something.
Now everybody gives way too large of a shit.
It's so funny.
So many, like, 50-plus-year-olds just, like, hating on all the Oscars outside of that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, this is the worst, you know, Oscars in forever, and everybody, like, sub-50 is like... That was this weekend?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I wouldn't have known it happened if it wasn't for this.
I think that's half of the viewership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily. It's like, oh, I would not have heard about that.
Which leans towards it being staged.
Yeah. Everybody's talking about it.
Why don't they didn't
it
before then?
I don't know, because now?
Because a slow, I feel like steady decline.
Nah, I feel like they're too classy for that. I feel like they want to be classy.
Maybe they were.
That joke wasn't very classy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had Ricky Gervais on there, and he was telling everyone that they were pedophiles to their face. So.
Also not classy.
Dude, he gives zero fucks.
Yeah. He's funny, though.
Yeah, I went down a YouTube wormhole, I don't know, like a month ago, that ended up being, like, Ricky Gervais just, like, brutal, you know, takes, and, it, like, just 10 minutes of, like, different cuts where he does not fucking care.
Yeah. A lot of comedy seems like it's just people that don't care.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm good with that. I'm good with both sides of, like, take that risk and say random things, and it, you know.
Yeah, someone might slap you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm okay with both sides of that. I'm okay with you taking a chance and saying it. I'm okay with someone not being all right with it because it was about them or someone they cared about.
Yep.
Social consequence is a real thing. Usually that happens a lot quicker than, like, legal action.
Lakeith Stanfield had the best reaction to it. They, like, asked him about it after the thing. He's like, yeah, man, real things happen to real people all around the world every day.
Super fake, then.
That is a good reaction.
No, he was. So, he kept saying it was surreal, and they're like, "Do you think it was real or fake?" Because I think it was real. It was just surreal that it happened in this building.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Yeah, real things happen to real people every day, so it's not that big of a deal."
Yeah, cameras make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being able to see it.
Yeah.
And these humans that are put in this weird situation where everybody knows who they are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's weird.
God, I don't envy that.
No, the ultra famous, like there's certainly an allure to it, especially I think when you're younger,
mm-hmm.
to be, oh, you know, I want that. But, man, I do not want that.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah.
One of my favorite currency lines is, famous enough to get in the club for free, but not so famous that people keep bothering me.
Yep. Sure. Yeah, that's the, dude, that's the zone right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a 3-4 beer drunk and you just coast. Yeah. You just coast. I don't need no shots. I'm just going to sip this. This Sour Babies, do you guys know the percentage?
Not strong, I don't believe.
Tasty.
4. I looked at it. It's 4 flat.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm drink lots of those.
Drinker.
It was funny. Teresa was going, because she had 2 beers here the other day. Wow. She never drinks 2 beers.
Yeah.
2 beers.
And yeah, no, we poured her Sour Babies when she got over here. And then it was like, I don't know, halfway through. She was, oh, pour me another one of those. And then we went over to freaking Cast Iron. She was like, yeah, I'll take a water. And so then I went in and ordered a cider. And it was like 3 beers deep. It was like, never seen that.
Nice. Goatee.
We got good beers.
Yeah, we have very good beers on tap right now.
Mm-hmm. It's only, it's 4. I only acknowledge 3 of them.
Yeah, the porter. The Imperial Porter doesn't count.
No, I don't acknowledge it. No, I'm drinking that today. God. Jer, mess up so he can finish that keg.
Did he earn another 2
Dude, you
today?
Think he earned a beer after that round?
Oh, it, God for damn.
The, yeah, be, even before the round.
So before the round, he earned it. We'll have to look at it again because he did... Whether he listed the 2 Ricos as defective on purpose, which he said he did, it still didn't line up when we were tagging through the discs. But in any case, after that round, he definitely deserves at least a new keg.
Yeah, I think Sap porter. Called him out and he's like, get your dark beer yet? Like 2 minutes after he came in.
Well, I was telling him earlier because Sappy's doing a lot more of the stickering now.
Yeah.
Having him do more inventory stuff. And whenever there's an issue, he usually figures it out, but every now and then he calls me over and I'm like, yep, that, you know, whether it's his fault or not, we blame Chair.
Yeah.
Just so you know. And so when he comes in, go ahead and remind him to drink his dark beer. And so I think he was pretty excited to do that today.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jared. It's one of the 2 of us for those things most of the time.
Yep.
And I make plenty of mistakes, but I don't make no fucking mistakes, but
I haven't seen none.
I did sell that buzz for $1.99, but at least it was the right picture. It was like it was in order.
No one's gonna be mad about that.
Just me. Just me.
Customer's stoked. He was like, he's like, almost I feel guilty. Bad. Yeah. Like, I'll pay for the full price. And Danny goes, nah.
Nah. It's from me to you. Happy Friday.
Yeah. So if you want a cheap disc, check on Fridays.
I'm just, yeah. Whew.
Like if you
right
want
around noon, but if we're in a good spot.
Or today, you could have checked today because Danny was a little bit on the vitamins.
Hey, you know what?
Bit distracted.
Smashed boxes today.
Yeah.
They stood absolutely no chance. We had 16 SKUs that were just Prodigy that are live in 13 minutes and the Splatter S Blend Alpaca and the Finish Line Forged Era.
Okay. Can disc golf companies please stop copying the fuck out of each other?
It's so close. I think the other one was technically forged. One's forged and one's forged, but yeah, they're very close.
Drew's is forged.
Okay, and so I think it's forged for like the...
Discmania?
Yeah, it's almost like a metal flake Neo, I guess, because it's the Latitude 64 produced Evolution line from Discmania, and they haven't done it in a while. Yeah, I know what you mean. The
Method, the Simon Method.
Yeah.
Whatever that was.
Shadow Titan.
Yeah.
I was thinking Dark something, but.
Yeah, that one, dude, that one sat on our shelves for a minute and now is easily like a $50 disc. And I think they've only done like that, and I think they did a run of the Enigma.
Yeah, I think so.
That was like money out of the box, apparently. But yeah, and I think that's without the D. I think it's a forge like method.
Still,
forge.
It's way too close.
Yo, I agree. Gotta, well, and like they had the Shimmer is Shimmer Star, and then I think Legacy did like a Shimmer, maybe it's Pinnacle? Just straight up Shimmer. Yeah, or Shimmer Pinnacle. Or
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I think Evolution is a line of, is a plastic type from Gateway.
Yeah.
And is now like a product line for Discmania. There's a lot of
crossing over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if you start something, you probably like type it into Google. Sometimes I think if you like some of these names are picked bad, like just due to SEO.
Yeah.
Purely that. Like if I type in, just in all honesty, the Destroyer is one of them. It ended up being fine because who was throwing it. But like, go type in Star Destroyer.
Dude, there's some bad ones where it's like, we have no chance of being good at SEO for like a Crown, for example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's some more relevant ones that I can't think of right now, but.
Yeah, anything of just a basic name, really. When you start adding, like, if you type in, like, Champion Leopard, it'll pop up.
Sure.
But if you just type in Leopard.
Yeah. Yep. Or Flare.
Flare. Oh, dude.
One of them. Lift.
Yeah. Some of these are so hard.
Try being good at Lift for SEO.
Dude, there was one of them.
And that's a plastic now, too, from, what, Stratosphere?
Yep.
The Wing It Disc Golf? Yeah.
Yep. Dude, the other one that was, I typed in the other day, it's Glide.
Oh,
trying to find the Glide in our products because
dude, Nova is the toughest one.
Yeah, Nova and Glide because Nova, but Glide's in literally every product we've ever made.
Yeah.
So you type in Glide and it doesn't like, it only brings up, all the discs.
Yeah, just discs.
And then you type in Discraft and it's like, here's all the Discraft discs.
Yep.
Like, damn it. I'm just trying to find this disc in this product. Let's see how many products we have. Product pages.
When we make discs, we're going to. Gonna have one called Speed and Turn and Fade.
Speed, what is it? A putter.
Yeah.
Turn, what is it? The beefiest disc you've ever thrown.
Yeah, you gotta put some turn on it.
Fade. Yeah, it's not gonna fade, so we have 2,737 product pages.
Dude, it was at like 2,700 flat like 2 days ago. There's been so many products.
Yeah, and like some of these are, there's 45 drafts that some of them will never be released.
Yeah, shout out those drafts. You had a chance. You almost got the limelight.
Yeah, sometimes the drafts are in there for.
We should use those for messages, just sending messages back and forth like, hey, Aaron, like send me this invoice or something stupid.
Dude, some of these drafts are funny.
How does that happen?
Like Shattered Pinnacle Ghost. Why is that?
It's probably, I think, where like I start to make a page or Jer starts to make a page and it was already made or vice versa.
Yeah.
Where you start to make a page, but we had already, made a skeleton and loaded some.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just want to see if there's any discs on this page because this looks like what we were just talking about. We never sold any of those ghosts because it never went live.
Nice.
That's, dude, we like.
That's it right there. Hey, guys, you want a ghost? I'm making them go live right now. We have, let's see, 34 in stock.
Put them on the line.
Publish.
Yeah. It's been at least a week. For everyone out there that's listening, and like if you listen, you probably know this already, but like OTB, yeah, the big company, we do not have our shit together. Like, just point blank.
I was saying today to Phil, like, we weren't a real company until you showed up.
Yeah, like, Phil was talking about something, and he goes, what email is this? And I'm like, he's like, how do you fill out with your name or your, like, what email do you use? I'm like, I don't know, our YouTube's still my personal email, so.
Yeah. Phil, we've been barely scraping by, bud.
And Sammy goes, we weren't a real company until you showed up.
Thank God he did, because things have been easier since he's been here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like going downhill and you have a little momentum. And it's like, you can't stop.
Yeah.
So we've just been full sprinting downhill for like 2 years. It's exhausting.
It is.
Wouldn't trade for anything, though. Not at all. Gravity is our friend.
Eventually, we're going to fucking eat shit face first hit the front brake too hard.
But we'll be so far down the hill.
Yeah.
That it'll be all right.
Yeah. So if you learn one thing today, OTB, not a real company.
Okay. Well, until recently.
I wouldn't even click any links.
Oh, speaking
probably of... probably scammer spam.
Speaking of OTV, didn't you have someone recently who was very upset?
Yeah, not a fan of us being having any similarity to off-track betting. I read that email to you, and I think mm-hmm. Phil was maybe around. I'll read it to you later. It's good stuff.
It sounds like good stuff. We get some funny emails, man.
Yeah.
Which is weird because we're not a real company. No. I don't know. Go buy some discs from a real company because it's not us, but we love you all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Bye, friends.
Bye. Yes, you are.